This is Disabled Girls Who Lift. We are reclaiming what's rightfully ours one podcast at a time. It's Mary Beth, Chloe, and Marcia bringing you the thoughts and unpopular topics to get you out of that ableist comfort zone. All right, fantastic. Hello, everyone. Welcome. Another episode of Disabled Girls Who Lift. Thank you to the folks that follow us, share us, give us money, love us, like us, talk to us, ask us questions, and support our listeners who ask us questions, and then we ask you the questions, so that's great. Anyways, this is Marcia in South Florida on Seminole Tribe land. I'm a Black Spoonie Femme wearing clear glasses. I got my clunky mic and headphone. I'm a little tired, but I'm happy to be here in front of my colorful wall. Pronouns are she, they. Mary Beth is up next.
Hey y'all, coming in from Northern California, sitting on Ohlone land. I am not energized yet, have not had my coffee. Yeah, it's early over here Pacific time. Wearing an olive green sweater, glasses, black headphones, sitting in my living room, and we are super excited to have Rachel Gottfried here today from Cuyahoga Falls, Ohio, sitting on, I believe, it's a combination of Kaskaskia land and Erie land. So thank you for joining us. Rachel is a speech language pathologist, also a retired powerlifter, like many of us, who recently suffered a right vertebral artery dissection, and super interested to hear how that's changed a lot of your lifting, how you've adapted to different movements, if any, and, you know, the passions that you have in speech therapy, your dogs, playing video games. Yeah, thank you. Welcome.
Hi, thanks for having me here. Before I do the, my pronouns are she, they. I'm wearing long black hair. I'm wearing glasses. I'm wearing a green t-shirt, and I'm sitting on a brown couch. Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
Tell the people about your fabulous nails though.
Oh, I do. Yeah. Have- they're black, and then I have like a heart green design, because it was just St. Patrick's Day.
I love that.
Yeah, no, those are baller. I love those.
Thank you.
Yeah, so we what I mentioned earlier is something that Rachel did. So Rachel went through something that's pretty weird and strange for a young person to go through, I'm sure. Probably nobody she knows has gone through. And then she messaged us like, hey, have you ever heard of this? Like, what the fuck am I supposed to be doing here? I'm a little lost. Yeah, and then some of you guys answered our stories, and somehow Rachel figured something out. So what did you figure out, Rachel?
I got the dissection. I figured out basically when you have a dissection, you have to really put lifting on pause. It's not really possible until you're fully healed. And even then you have a lot of restrictions still, because it's a very serious injury. But I reached out to you guys, and I was like, maybe somewhere in the world there's someone else who has this, who also was a powerlifter or also really like bodybuilding or weightlifting.
Right. Yeah, it's pretty nuts. So I've had something with my veins in my leg as an elective surgery. Like, I chose to do that, and I planned to do that. And, you know, I was able to prepare for that. And even though I was lost while it was happening, at least there's some sort of like mental framework. Was this something that caught you out of surprise, out of nowhere? You were just minding your business, and then like, boom, emergency.
Yes. So this happened over the course of 5 days at the end of October. So I woke up one morning and I thought I slept on my neck funny. And you have to excuse me. Sometimes I still get emotional about it.
Of course. It's just fucking traumatic. Yeah.
Less than a year ago.
Take your time.
Yeah, it's only been like four and a half months. So I woke up, I thought I slept on my neck funny. And then my condition just worsened over the course of 5 days. I was at work and I was like, wow, I couldn't keep my eyes open. And I was like, wow, I I really have a bad headache from this muscle I pulled, because that's what it felt like. And it just got worse and worse. And I coincidentally also caught some sort of virus. And I was like in bed, I had a fever, and I just was resting. But I still had a headache. And so I ended up actually going to my physical therapist and was like, hey, can you help me? I think I pulled a muscle. And they actually did some like dry needling and muscle scraping right on the neck, which is probably bad, but nobody knew. Nobody could have ever caught this off, you know, nobody would have known. So I woke up on a Monday morning and I couldn't walk in a straight line. I tried to go to work on Tuesday and I just felt so weird. And by the time it was like 6 p.m. on Tuesday, my condition deteriorated so much that I called a friend and I said, I think I really need to go to the hospital. I knew I couldn't drive myself. So we went to the ER. I had what I would describe as the worst headache I've ever experienced in my entire life. And so I waited 4.5 hours at the ER until, you know, they immediately did a head CT, which came up normal, which is great. But then when I went back after 4.5 hours, they're like, you need a neck CT. So they did that. And that's when they found that my right vertebral artery tore. That's what it means. The section is that it tore and it formed a pseudoaneurysm, which basically means like there's like a little pouch and outpouching that was filled with essentially blood clots. And so the risk of this injury is that you would have a person would have a stroke, a brainstem stroke.
So we're talking to a miracle right now, is what you're saying? What the fuck?
Yeah.
I'm glad you're still here. That's a lot.
Yeah. And right at the neck, so close, like, you know?
Yes.
Can't move for shit.
That was almost a week. And then even in the ER, that was hours long. That's something that they would teach us in school is like emergent situation, like red flags, 911 right now.
Yeah.
Dealt with that for so long is, whoo, yikes. So they went in there and they surgically did whatever, but I'm guessing you probably have to take blood thinners for like a hot minute.
Yeah, so surgically, they actually didn't have to do anything.
Oh.
Some people, when they have a large enough pseudoaneurysm, they'll go in and put a stent. That's a very risky surgery. And mine was small enough and I was stable enough that they thought it would resolve just with blood thinners and time. So yeah, I was on pretty heavy blood thinners for 3 months. And then at my 3 month CT, they took me off of one of the blood thinners. So now I just take baby aspirin every day. A lot of people who have this condition do end up having a stroke. I think it's about 5% of people do die, unfortunately. Mm. But it just varies. Some people, they tear their left one, but not their right. And some people, they tear their right and not their left. Some people tear both. It just really depends. It's very vague.
Right. And it's not something that you can say. It's like, oh, well, it's because I did this one day. I went on a roller coaster and I swear I had whiplash and this is why it happened. Like, it's just one of those things that just happens.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's what happened for me. Some people, like I know of people who the biggest risk is, I would think, is whiplash. Some people get this from whiplash injuries, and then other people, it's from chiropractic manipulation.
Yeah, that I've heard.
And I was somebody who I'd seen a chiropractor months before, but had stopped. And then I was somebody who cracked my neck all the time. Like, I didn't know the risk at all.
Mm-hmm.
And so there are lots of people who are like, yeah, I saw a chiropractor and then I immediately started vomiting and I knew something was wrong. Or there are people, it can happen from heavy lifting as well. So there are people who are like, I did a heavy back squat and I felt something.
Just all wrong. The pressure.
Mm-hmm. So yeah,
that's he scary.
So you're saying that you regularly cracked your back, your neck, just like on the daily?
On the daily, multiple times a day. I was so, you know, I'm an anxious person. So I was so tense all the time. And I saw chiropractors doing it all the time. And I saw the people doing it all the time. And I didn't know of this at all then, but now I know the incidence rate of tearing your vertebral artery is 1 in 100,000. Mm-hmm. So I just figured, you know, I'm just doing what other people do.
You'll never know.
But can we just talk about how so many women minimize our pain to a fucking migraine? Like, thank God you only went 1 week as opposed to months, you know, because it would have been too late. Like,
or that you got to the ER and stayed in the ER, right? Like, how many people, they're like, you're good, see you later.
Yeah. I'm so grateful for the ER doctor, because I think people... She immediately was like, I was like, I'm a power lifter. Like, so they were asking about like what activities I do.
Right.
And I was like, I'm a power lifter. And she was immediately like, you need a neck CT. Like, she was annoyed that they didn't do a neck CT immediately.
Wow.
So I was grateful that this ER doctor had the knowledge.
Thought about it. Yeah. Definitely. That they went there. That's amazing. Yeah. When I was, half the time, whenever I go to the ER, it's like, well, are you under a lot of stress? Could this just be a panic attack?
They asked me, I went to urgent care earlier in that day, and the one person did tell me, I think you're anxious.
Yeah. Thanks, bud.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm kind of wondering if I'm dying. So yes, I'm anxious. I think that's an appropriate response.
Yes.
Wait, and then when did you have to like check yourself into the ER, Marcia, where they told you that?
Oh, that was my first ever problem, was arrhythmias, but I still have the arrhythmias. However, at the time I felt them and it felt like world ending.
Gotcha.
That's so scary too.
Yeah. That didn't go anywhere. That was just like the start of my journey. So that didn't go anywhere. If anything, I have more mysteries.
Oh my gosh.
Jeez. But we're not talking about me right now.
I was curious.
That's going to be a couple hours if you want to dig into that. But yeah, that was like the first thing. Oh my God. And it was, so you went to the ER with your friend. I went to the ER with my husband, who is the number one, he talks too much, right? Like, he's the guy that talks to the Uber driver. And I'm like, yo, shut the fuck up. Like, he talks too much, number one. And then number two, he's like, talks more when he's freaking out. So this lady, this ER doc is already on like it's a panic attack. You're in stress. Like, he's already into that. And he's like telling her all the supplements I take. And like, I'm like, yo, why are you talking about that? And now she's like, oh, it's the supplements then. That's all. You take too many. I'm just like, why are you talking to her?
Yeah, he made it worse today.
Yeah, he made it worse. Was your friend helpful for you in that situation, Rachel?
He was. So, my partner was at work, and I had nobody. Like, my family lives about 35 minutes away from me, so they were going to get to me in time. And this friend, we weren't even that super close, but she had been over my house recently, and so she was the first person I thought of in the area, and I really couldn't think straight at all. And just coincidentally, she was like, yeah, I'll be over as soon as I can, like, hang in there. I don't have to work tomorrow. And so she stayed with me in the ER until 2 a.m., until she physically couldn't stay up. She actually went back to my house, informed my partner what was going on, got me a snack, and came back. Yeah. She really, like, I just love her a lot. She really saved my life.
A real MVP. Yeah. No, yeah. She really did. You can't even downplay that. She literally.
Yeah, she saved her life.
That's awesome. I'm glad she was there for you. Really am.
And we need more people like her.
Oh,
I know.
Shout out. What's her name?
Jordan.
Jordan. We love you, Jordan.
You do. You're doing amazing, sweetie. Keep it up.
Rachel. Rachel's the one that went through it.
I know, right?
but Rachel, so we're 4 months later. And you said you reached out to the DGWL community, and what sorts of advice, like, and feedback did you get that actually has helped you until today?
So when I reached out to you guys, there was no advice regarding lifting that anybody could have told me, because with this injury for 3 months, you can't do any lifting. My restrictions are still no more than 10 to 15 pounds right now. So the best advice I got was, from other people who had this happen to them. And there's a support group on Facebook that I'm a part of. And I actually met a few people that I'm close to now from that group. And it was essentially like, take it easy and rest. Like, I know it feels weird. I know you don't want to, but you have to rest. And so that's what I've been trying to do for the past 4.5 months. I started off 3 months where I just was like going on walks and things like that. And then with my 3 month scan, they told me I was about 80% improved and my aneurysm had gone down. So I can do some body weight exercises with restrictions. Those restrictions include like if you even think about yoga, like sometimes people be like, do yoga. And that's I can't do yoga because I can't put my head in weird positions. I can't be supporting myself with my arms or anything like that. So it's no awkward head and neck positions, no push-ups, planks, pull-ups, nothing isometric, heavy holds, anything like that. So yeah, there's a lot
mostly of like standing movements.
Yes. I actually have had to take out, I was doing some like wall sits and dead bugs and that aggravated my neck. And so I said, gotta take those out.
I could see the dead bugs doing that.
Yeah. And then I took out Bulgarian split squats because even though like I'm upright, it still felt too much straining on my neck. So I cut those out. It's just kind of a trial and error.
Yeah. But damn, you went back into it super quickly.
I mean, how long have you been powerlifting?
I've been powerlifting for about 5 to 6 years. More like bodybuilding and lifting in general for about 8 to 9 years. So it was a huge part of my life and a huge part of my identity. And it was pretty crushing to lose that. So I'm trying to find a way.
Yeah, definitely. That's like the only thing you think of. Yeah, it's for now. It's not forever.
Yeah.
But I hate when people give blanket advice like that. Oh yeah, yoga's good. Like, no, man. There's so much depending on what kind of yoga you're doing, right? Like anything where you're putting pressure on your head, being upside down, hard pass, right? Anything that you're holding on your hand, huh?
What about Pilates?
Heck no. There's a lot more isometric in Pilates.
We actually said eventually I could probably do Pilates.
There's so much ice. Pilates is like whatever you felt in dead bugs is what you would feel in Pilates.
Oh, I probably won't do that.
Yeah.
I mean, again, unless there are like standing movements, but I can't imagine.
But it's like, it's the pressure, right? It's like pressure, your heart rate. Yeah. It's like anything that's affecting.
Yeah, they really want you to keep your blood pressure.
Yeah.
With this, because according to one of my doctors, they've done studies where with Olympic weightlifters and check seeing how their blood pressure like what happens with it when they're like in the midst of like a clean and jerk or something like that.
Right.
And their blood pressure could be normal. And then it spikes to like 300 or something really crazy. And that's why they say heavy lifting after this injury is pretty much impossible. Because now I know that this could happen again to me and that it's happened before. And so I can't ever go back to powerlifting. It's not going to happen, unfortunately. So they currently have told me if I heal, 20 pounds for life is my max.
Mm-hmm.
But
because you did a lot of bodybuilding type of stuff beforehand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They have to give you some sort of number. But at the end of the day, when we lift, like the main thing we do is, you know, brace, Valsalva, all of that pressure.
Yep, they say
that's an immediate immediate no. Is that Valsalva is just fucking pressure, and then you let it go, so it's like.
Yep, you cannot have that intrathoracic pressure.
Not even bracing.
I think eventually I could brace a little bit better, but right now I get nervous to brace super hard or anything like that.
You got to be able to really separate bracing and your Valsalva.
Yeah. And right now too, like I think about like how much I want to go back to lifting and stuff. And I'm trying to take it easy, but some people with this condition also develop chronic pain, which I have. So I'm trying to also manage my pain as well.
So what is the pain? It's still that feels like a strained muscle?
Yeah, my right now, like in my neck, it just feels very, very tense, which I actually, it's actually shifted. My pain is kind of shifting, which is kind of crazy. And then you get, I'm really, so I can't say that word. I get really frequent headaches. So I'll just get headaches, especially in the back of my head, right where the artery is. And I get migraines. So I have to manage a lot going on.
Yeah, that sucks. So who do you have to keep up with now?
Who, for doctors?
Yeah.
So I have a vascular doctor that I see. And then I also see a neurologist. And I actually had to see, so those are the two that I see now. I actually did genetic counseling because there are certain genetic conditions with connective tissue that could cause a spontaneous dissection. I do not have those. That would be like vascular Ehlers-Danlos and fibromuscular dysplasia are the two common ones. So I got cleared for that. But yeah, vascular and neurology are the main ones. I'm seeing a headache specialist soon.
Yeah.
Get under control.
Yikes. That stinks. So there's not much that you've done that's helped you with that part of it, the pain management part of it.
No, unfortunately I'm still taking some pretty heavy pain medication, especially at night. And then Tylenol. They send you like you're in the hospital and they have you on like IV morphine around the clock for the pain, and then they discharge you and you're like, they're like, have some Tylenol.
Acetaminophen. Very different. But I mean, like the blood thinners, I guess, was super important because of the blood clots, but no more blood clots, right?
Yeah, should not I should not, I'm not at risk, I think, right now for a stroke because I have that managed just with baby aspirin.
Yeah, you just have to stay the course with it.
That's
pretty nuts. Pain management sucks because it's such a hit or miss and everybody has to try something different, you know? Even like, you know, people are like, oh, just do cannabis. Like, you can't even just say just do cannabis. Okay, which strain? Which type? What method? How much?
That's so not question.
Yeah, that's not helpful. Or, you know, some people just like, oh yeah, Lyrica's great for my nerve pain. What dosage? How often do you take it? What time of the day? Like, there's so much fucking or trial and error that nobody could figure out for you. You have to like suffer and have the space. And what if you have to go to work and you can't be like, I'll try this medication that might put me out tomorrow? Like,
exactly. And well, that's not funny. I was going to say the funny thing is that like with this condition, some of the, you know, if we're going to talk about medications, right, is they immediately were like, get off birth control. That was one. They're like, immediately get off birth control.
Oh, because the blood clot risk.
Blood clot. And then I was taking Imitrex occasionally for migraines. So I had migraines prior to my dissection. There seems to be some sort of link, but it's not clear between dissection and migraine. So they said, no, you cannot take that migraine medication. So like I got a migraine last week and I was like, what am I supposed to do? Just take Tylenol?
Oh, shoot.
Because I also can't take ibuprofen because it interacts with the aspirin.
Oh my God.
So yeah. There's like a lot of, and then a lot of like, you know, other medications. There's like a whole list of medications. They're like, you can't take this because of blood clotting risk. I'm like, what do I do?
And I'm sure there's like they tell you foods and whatnot. Like I know you can't eat licorice, let's say, if you're on a blood thinner.
I had no idea about that.
Yeah, there's some stuff out. There's some weird interactions because I mean, some medication is, you know, like a very chemical version of food, right? Yeah, you can't do licorice. Like, I know my partner was on some blood thinners for a bit, and I had to take out the black jelly beans. Because you just like handfuls and this guy is gonna kill himself. Sit there and sort through jelly beans. That was my life.
So specific, right?
Yeah, no, it's that specific. But that was trial and error, right? Somebody tried it and it didn't work out. Now we learn from their mistakes. It's freaking nuts. Ugh, that sucks about medication, though. I would like to ask you how it affected your job, but before we switch topics, we just take like a short break and then plug an ad. All right, fantastic. So let's start over.
Yeah.
Work. Oh yeah, your work. Yeah, yeah. Yes, how's your work been treating you?
So my work has been really great and really understanding. It has impacted my work quite a bit because I work with the autistic population, and some of my students tend to pull hair, or they might hit you or throw things. They might pull on you really hard, and it's something like this would be very difficult for some of my students to understand, like, hey, you can't just pull my hair right now, because they're not thinking about that. They're thinking like, I have needs and I'm trying to communicate something with you, and I don't know how else to do that unless I pull your hair and to tell you, which would be really bad for my neck. So there's a lot of classrooms I can't be as hands-on with anymore. I do need to take frequent breaks at work. If I can't like lift or move anything. So, you know, there's a big box. And like, for example, one of my students wanted to see this book that was in a box. I couldn't lift the box to show them. So I had to go and find somebody else, like just little things like that. But my work has been very understanding.
That's great. It's not everybody has that, and that you don't need extra stress to put your blood pressure up. So it's changed the way that you work, but pretty much whatever you're asking for, they're fine with. They're not like a quota happy kind of a place.
No, and I'm on FMLA, so any of my appointments, I don't have the stress of like, oh my gosh, when do I need to schedule this appointment? Like, I need to figure it out around work. I just pretty much say, like, I'm going to be out this day, or I'll be in half a day.
Mm-hmm.
And then I go. And actually, when the whole thing started, since it was so sudden, it was like, all of a sudden, I was texting my boss, like, I just got admitted to the hospital. I don't know when I'm going to be back. And I was out for about 3 weeks.
Oh, damn.
And they pretty much will just, we're like, okay, we'll help you. Tell us what you need, when you'll be back, and we'll get this figured out. We hope you're well. They sent me, like, some of my students gave me like a card, like a get well card and a get well gift. It was very sweet.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Those accommodations are just so important.
The FMLA, you can work at the, you could still be working though. I thought it was for like literally leaving.
Yeah.
Like not working.
So there's like the whole big sheet. I don't know if it's different in each state versus each workplace. I'm not sure about all those details. But this one, there's a checkbox of like, you'll be out for this appointment, or like they have specifics on there in the form.
So.
Yeah. I think I've seen people use some as like temporary leave as well, as long as they get paid by the state. Cause you know, you need to get paid if the company can't pay you.
Yeah, I probably should. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know all the specifics, but I probably should have gone on short-term disability.
I know about.
I was like, I want to get back to work. I have things to do, and I want to get back to the gym. And I was just so focused on, I want to get back to my life.
Right.
And everybody else, like my family, was like, you can't slow down.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's rough. That part gets really complicated, like short-term disability versus FMLA. Well, first of all, you have to work for someone and be like a real employee, right? It has to be like a real company. You can't be a freelancer. You don't have any of that. Just work or don't get paid. But I don't, the state paying you though might depend, Mary Beth. That might be a California thing. I don't know.
Yeah, well, you're in Ohio, right?
Yeah, I'm in Ohio.
But I've seen it happen in California.
Florida FMLA just means that they can't give your job away. Like your job is there waiting. That's how I've seen it used. It's like, I need a month and a half off because I'm getting a surgery, and then you have a doctor sign all this crap or whatever. They don't pay you. They just can't fire you.
Well, it's not a lot of. Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, I didn't mean to interrupt. I was going to say that's what it's like in Ohio. They can't, I don't get paid for those days that I'm out, but I also have the job security and that kind of thing.
That's the word. It's job security.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. And then short-term disability, at least here, is something you have to pay extra for. It's like an insurance. Like you could pay Aflac or whatever insurance, like a car insurance, like your car is out, like, oh, I'm out. And then you like make a claim and then they'll pay you out.
You have to pay for disability insurance in order to apply for disability benefits?
Well, no, it's, what do you mean disability? You mean like the state's disability benefits? Yeah. That's something else. And you can't be working on that. No, you have to be like below poverty level to be on that.
Yeah. Gotcha.
It's so complicated.
It's so complicated.
And every state is just so different.
Every state is so different, and they would rather you just give up and like just disappear or something. I don't know. It's so stupid. But anyways, that's not your life. You're doing great. Amazing. <You're the> best. Yeah, that shit is infuriating. That would really, like, there are people that don't get married because they want to keep their disability stuff settled. So that stuff is pretty nuts. So what about daily? So obviously it's going to affect your work, but what about daily stuff? What about grocery shopping or chopping or changing your bed sheets? Vacuuming is like strenuous for me, you know? When I got my vein thing, I couldn't vacuum.
I'm lucky that I get help. I have help to do that. But for grocery shopping, I mean, I've literally, people looked at me like I was silly because I was like, I can't lift more than 10 pounds. Like, I need somebody to help, like, push the cart and then load my car because I physically can't. I can't let my dogs out because the yard, like, you have to let them on the leash. So I've not been able to walk my dogs we've had a lot of friends come over to let out my dogs because that's become really difficult. I certainly can't lift their bag of food. But yeah, I don't know. I wish I had a clear cut answer because I don't know how I'm getting by. I'm not lifting anything. I know when we had like the one silver lining was we had a really bad snowstorm and I was like, oh, can't shovel.
Sorry, I would so help you right now, but medically I can't. Whoops.
I'll just help sprinkle the ice. Sprinkle the salt.
My next hurting, I really gotta sip this one out. So
yeah.
But yeah, and I think the hardest part daily is the constant pain and the constant anxiety. A lot of people who have this injury do have medical trauma afterwards. So they have like PTSD, and even people who didn't have anxiety prior to this injury then develop really bad anxiety because it's, especially if it's spontaneous, because then you're like, oh my God, I can't even look behind me to check my, like, my blind spot. That's been hard. Driving.
Yeah.
Oh.
You have to turn on your whole body.
They don't want you to even physically be rotating your neck. I didn't even think of that part.
Yeah, no abrupt turning of the head at all. So I have a car that fortunately beeps when I am want to merge or if somebody's beside me, and I just drive very, very carefully. So that's been hard. And then the constant pain. And then like, am I going to get a headache? Am I not going to get a headache? I don't know. Do I feel a headache right now? Does this mean I'm having another dissection? Like just all these constant questions running through my head all the time. And then, at night, my pain does get worse. And so I have a lot of night anxiety, and like sleeping has been extremely hard because I can't get comfortable in bed with my head. Like there's no pillow propped up right enough. There's no pillow soft enough or firm enough that's going to feel good on my neck. So sleeping's been hard. That affects everything daily.
Do you still have a PT to this day?
Physical therapy, no. I am, like I said, I'm seeing the physical therapy I saw before, I'll backtrack a little bit, was specifically for athletes and powerlifters. He saw athletes every day. So this was not his cup of tea.
Yeah, it's orthopedic sports stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he actually called me in the hospital. I think they might have felt pretty guilty about maybe not catching it in time, or that they didn't send me to the hospital instead of like doing, I didn't want them to feel that way, but that they called me while I was in the hospital and were like, are you okay? So I have not seen them since. I think what's going to benefit me is seeing the headache specialist.
Yeah.
And keeping up with that.
Yeah, I just don't remember if it's specifically physical therapy, but there is one where they specifically recommend like how to sleep, what positions to lay on, types
of. It could be a PT or it could be an occupational therapist.
Mm-hmm.
That just depends.
But I mean, you said you've tried multiple positions and multiple types of pillows. It's you have to find that one kind of like more trial and error for you at night.
Yeah, and I kind of just had to like get over it, especially because with how my injury progressed, I just was sleeping and I woke up and my neck hurt. And so it's been kind of scary to sleep because I'm like, what if I do something in my sleep that hurts my neck?
Yeah. And that makes you more stressed, then your body's stressed, then your pressure goes up, then you're already hurting, now you're hurting a little bit more, and then now you're worrying about that also, like, oh crap, am I gonna ruin this, but I gotta go to sleep, but what if I go to sleep and something happens?
Yeah.
And then you're just like just keep ramping up. No, I could see it.
Stressful.
I could see it. That must stressful. Be a tough cycle to break out of. Are you getting any better at stopping that thought pattern?
Yes. I think so. I'm kind of just trying to live my life a little bit more. Like I have plans to go see a concert in April and, you know, I trying to do stuff at the gym and I'm, you know, letting myself relax a little bit more, which has helped. And the pain actually, I think hopefully is getting better. I have moments where I wake up in the morning and I'm like, I have about 20 to 30 minutes with no pain. It's like I woke up and I'm like, did I just wake up from this nightmare? Like, did this really happen? And then it comes on and I'm like, oh yeah. So I think we're having more moments of less pain, less intense pain. Like I haven't taken any pain medication at all today, which is a huge step.
Nice. That is nice. But the migraines that you dealt with before, besides the, what was it, Emetrix? Mm-hmm. Yeah, besides that, for managing it, were those like clearly triggered migraines, like smells and sounds or whatever? Like, is that still the same or are your migraines totally different now?
Some the same, some not. So my migraines before this were triggered by barometric pressure changes, like the weather.
Right.
And I had one last week and I panicked. I was so scared. I was like, I have another dissection. My dog's sorry.
He's like, why are you so hype right now? Why are you so hype? Calm down. Maybe you should pet me to calm down.
Just don't jump on mommy.
So, yeah. So they were triggered by the weather. And that is still is happening. But now I'll just get like random headaches. Like I'll just be living and I get a headache. I'm like, what did I do? Or if I'm like, if I maybe strain my neck a little bit too much, but everything strains my neck. So I'm like, it's kind of a toss up.
Yeah.
That's a tough one.
Glad you got support like at home for sure.
Thank you.
Because, you know, daily thing. Like I think about it now as I'm getting older too. I'm like, I can't open this freaking jar I was able to open a year ago. It's getting progressively complicated, and being okay with like depending on other people is also huge growth for people like us powerlifters especially.
Yeah. You know? But also having the support, like, you know, some people are there like when it's obviously, oh, you're in the hospital, this is a crisis time, like, oh, make sure your dogs are walked, then you have food, and then you're out of the hospital, and it's just like, I guess you're good now, you know, some people peace out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah. The support wanes.
I've been very fortunate. I know a lot of people are not as supported, and I wish that weren't the case, but I've been very fortunate that I've been extremely supported. I think the people in my life sometimes get annoyed with my broken record of, am I going to heal? Like if every minute of every day, am I going to heal? Will I ever be able to lift again? And so those are the kinds of things that I think can weigh on your support system. My constant asking of, oh my gosh, what if I don't heal?
Yeah. Who am I now?
Yeah.
Some people, unfortunately, they don't. And the likelihood of healing after, if you're not healed in the 6 month time frame, your likelihood of it resolving completely drops. And so it's a lot of pressure.
So that's when you would have to get the stent then?
Or, I don't think they would.
No, they wouldn't even do it.
They were like, I went to saw my doctor, one of the doctors, to make sure, just overview of like making sure I don't have FMD or anything like that. And she was like, it's a lifestyle change. And I said, what?
It's easy for you to say. You're not going through it, lady.
Yeah.
I was like, it's not just a lifestyle change to me. This was like a huge part of my life. Powerlifting was like, I describe powerlifting as like everything to me. Like it was integral into my being.
Yeah.
So losing that has been hard. So it's a lot of pressure. Maple, you got to move. Sorry.
No, don't worry. Wait, your dog's name is Maple too?
I know. She turned around.
That's funny. No, that's tough. It is. That's a big adjustment. And you have to contend with like, okay, what I used to be able to do. And then you have to contend with what the hell happened to me. And then you have to contend with like, what am I doing today?
Mm-hmm. Yes. And there's even more layers on top of that. It's like, we know that, you know, when you're powerlifting and lifting weights and doing bodybuilding, that it changes your physique.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of emphasis on that within the fitness community. And I look at myself sometimes in the mirror and I'm like, I don't know who this person is. That's been really hard too, to deal with. My body's changing. My body also betrayed me. I also can't lift anything. Also, will I ever heal? And then all those other things you said, like just layers and layers of things you have to contend with.
Yeah, that's a lot. That's a lot, a lot, a lot. Does that spill into your work or into what you're doing outside of your house? Like, is that kind of like a big heavy cloud or is it getting better?
I hope that it'll get better. I do receive support to work through those things. At work, I try to really compartmentalize my work versus my personal life and my personal feelings, because I'm there for the kids and they need me and my coworkers need me and I have an important job to do there. And so I really try and just focus on that while I'm there. But outside of work, you know, I'm going to a concert for the first time, you know, I mean, pandemic, we all were kind of
right.
But I'm going to a concert for the first time in a long time. And sometimes I get like, well, you know, I get flashes of like, maybe I shouldn't do that because this happened to me and, you know, that kind of thing. It weighs heavy.
Yeah, I'm sure it does. I'm sure it does. But again, it's great that you have the support and nobody's making you feel bad for those feelings, even though you might feel bad for having the feelings. But
yeah, right. I think I get the most like, frustrated with more like strangers on the internet saying like, you'll get back to powerlifting, the body can do amazing things. And I'm like, no,
it's a miracle that I'm here.
The body can do amazing things. That thing is done now. I am alive.
Like, I'm just happy to be here. I'm like, I was like, you know, almost like, stop trying to make fetch happen.
Oh, I love Mean Girl references. And then, I mean, tell us the little things of how you found happiness, like kind of shifted happiness, you know, reading graphic novels, playing video games, like other things you could have done. I know.
Joy.
Yeah. Where?
There is joy in my life. I know I can get kind of like down in the dumps, but
it's real.
It is real.
Yeah. Yeah, that's all at the same time.
All at the same time. I have a friend that I met through the support group on Facebook. The support groups, if anybody needs it out there, it's called Vertebral Artery Dissection Support. You just put it in the search bar in there. And I have met some amazing people from there, like people who've had multiple strokes, multiple dissections, like the strongest people I know are in that group. And I met a friend on there. She's across the world. And sometimes we're like, are we the same person? And so we talk almost every day and support each other. And we've told each other, you're my silver lining in this. Like, if this hadn't happened to me, I would have never met you. And that's been really nice. Yeah, I've rediscovered, I love reading graphic novels, getting back into reading, which I never had time for. Spending time with my dogs, my family, my friends, listening to music, catching up on all the things I missed on Netflix. Because when I was at the gym, like before my dissection, I was at the gym 4 times a week, upwards of like 3 hours a session. And I really put so much time and energy and effort into powerlifting, so much of my life into it. It was, I put all my eggs in one basket, and right. now I know not to do that. So I'm kind of figuring out what is meaningful to me in life.
That's 12 extra hours of your week now.
Yeah.
What you gonna do with it?
Yeah, you gotta do something. It's so true though. That's a big chunk.
Yeah.
That's a big chunk.
Yeah, huge chunk. I remember like sitting, you know, after my dissection happened, like, and I was just like resting and everything. I'm like, what am I gonna do with all this time?
Yeah.
So
were you competing last year or the year prior? Like, was competition even in your timeline back then?
Yeah, so I competed in 2019. I did really well. I was quite strong. I always humble brag about it still.
Yeah.
For example, like the thing was too, like I had been working with this coach for over five years. And he's been coaching for a really long time for USAPL. And he's never had one athlete this happen to. I was the first.
Yeah.
He got me really strong. My first competition, I pulled 2.7 times my body weight on my deadlift.
Nice.
I was probably one of my biggest accomplishments. Heck yeah. And so in 2020, I was going to compete in March of 2020.
Oh,
nice.
And so that didn't happen. And then right before my dissection, I was really trying to be as consistent as possible in the gym to be like, yes, I'm ready. I was looking at meets to pick out for next month, actually, at that time. And yeah, I really wanted to compete again, but it was not. It's not going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Life comes at you fast. Time to pivot.
Yeah.
That's the thing about... once you're in the disabled community, you become a pro at pivoting. All right, what else can I do? All right, what else can I do? All right, what else can I do?
And it's kind of great that like the rest of the world kind of experienced that with us with this 2-3 year long pandemic that's still going on. You know, everyone was like, I can't do A, B, and C. Careers shifted and, you know.
It was pretty interesting. It was pretty interesting to see that for sure. I agree. I do want to go back to the novels. What kind of graphic novels are you reading? What's on your desk?
On my desk, I really like this series called Saga. Definitely not appropriate for children. It's a very adult graphic novel.
Yeah, no, graphic novels are, spoiler alert, and usually not for kids, in case anyone's never.
Not for children. It's kind of about, like, there's this, like, space alien war, and it's, like, kind of like a Romeo and Juliet kind of thing, as told by the daughter, and it's just really interesting. There's some... It's kind of niche, but I like the series. It's called Saga.
I'm into it.
And then I have some other, I don't even know the names of some of the other ones I have. I went to the store recently and just bought some covers on it.
Did you ever read the Watchmen one? That's like, my husband can't stop talking. He always talks about that when he references graphic novels.
I'll have to look that one up.
Yeah. The Watchmen one. And then, okay, but video games, you must be playing some chill games, because even video games can be intense and get your blood pressure up.
Like physically intense.
You still have to be careful
with it. I know. I definitely know. Go ahead.
I was like, definitely no Wii games were.
Yeah, definitely no freaking Smash Bros or Wii Fits or none of that. Like,
nope. I play the most chill video games. I have my Nintendo Switch. And it's all, I have it all cute. Like, it has like a little like cat cover and cat paw, like keycaps on it. And I play Stardew Valley, Animal Crossing, and all of the Pokemon games. I'm like Pokemon obsessed. So.
Oh, I love that.
I saw about everybody loved Animal Crossing and in the Pandulce. That's one of that popped up. But mm-hmm. I gotta try it out and see what it's like, because I play The Sims and people say it's similar-ish.
Similar-ish, I would
say. Yeah, right? I don't know. Might look into it.
Very chill. I think you'll like it.
Yeah. Might look into it. Man. That was a lot. Thank you for sharing your story with us. Is there anything that you wanted to talk about that we didn't quite touch on?
I think I just would want people to know that, you know, if you see somebody first, gotta backtrack. I always do this. Gotta backtrack a little bit.
Context is important.
That context is important. I think I just would want people to know that if your body is telling you to rest, there's no shame in resting, and that it's so important. And I know it's come up in the media recently, but if you are having the worst headache of your entire life, go to the doctor. Like, don't wait. Just go to the doctor. And then I think I would want people to know, if you see somebody, especially at the gym, that's maybe doing something that you don't understand or looks different, or like, you know, it's kind of different for me, for example, to be at a powerlifting specific gym doing body weight only exercises and cardio. So if you see somebody at the gym who's maybe doing something different, to just like pause before you have a judgment about them. And then, because you don't know what someone's going through, and just because somebody looks okay, like I look perfectly, I look the same, they might actually have a torn artery or something else.
Yeah. You have literally no idea. Mm-hmm. And you know what? Minding your business is still free.
Yeah.
Doesn't cost a dime.
Stay in your damn lane.
Doesn't cost a dime. That's probably very, very frustrating for you, but I'm happy that you reached back out to us and checked in, because the way my brain fog is set up, this could have happened last November or in 2017. Who knows, right? So I'm happy you came back. I'm extra happy that we got to talk about it, because who knows, somebody might need to hear this.
Yeah, I thank you so much for having me and giving me the opportunity to talk about vertebral artery dissection and stroke. It is happening more and more to young people. And heavy lifting is a risk for it. And I just think it's an important topic. And I'm honored to be here. And I'm so happy you invited me.
Yeah, anytime. You're welcome. Come right through the door. I'll give you the Nest code. You can come right in on the couch. I'll give you the password for Netflix. You are welcome at any time at the Disabled Girls Who Lift house.
Thank you.
Netflix. Oh, that's.
I know.
That's generous.
And the price is going up too. If anybody wants to find you online, you mentioned the vertebral artery dissection support group. Is that its own website?
Or that's Facebook. That's a group on Facebook.
Facebook. Okay. Mm-hmm. That's Facebook. But if somebody wanted to talk to you, where would they find you?
Instagram probably would be the best option. My Instagram handle is Rachel, RachelEmGo. So it's Rachel M Go. And that's my inbox. DMs are always open to anybody who wants more information on vertebral artery dissection, or how I've adapted. So
that's great. Thanks. And just, I think finding that community is super essential. Mm-hmm. And you know, other, even if every experience is different, just the resources that you find within that is just so important. So thank you for sharing that with us.
Thank you. All right. Fantastic. Disabled Girls out.
Thanks for listening to Disabled Girls Who Left. We appreciate all of your support and everyone who's taken the time to show us some love. Don't forget to subscribe, rate, or write a review of our channel. We're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Player FM, Google Podcasts, and more. You can also find us on Instagram @DisabledGirlsWhoLift.